Welcome to the Spin Axis Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
I'm Tyson Deskins.
This episode is a response to a reader email. Alex from Michigan, among many others, to be honest, wrote in, and Alex specifically said, "What are your recommendations on how to balance swing improvements with performance once you get to the course, essentially coming out of winter practice season for those of us up north? For example, if I get to the driving range prior to a round, it doesn't necessarily mean winter indoors. He's just asking transitioning from indoor golf to outside golf. So that's the general topic. But for a lot of us up north, it's April now. We're starting to get into playing outside. For example, if I get to the driving range prior to a round and I'm hitting a fade with my first five shots, do I do shallowing drills and try to get back to my natural draw? Or do I forget that and play with the swing that I have that day? How do I take my game from inside to what I do outside?" Jason, thoughts?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, we're definitely at that point in the year where everyone, even us in Winnipeg, are thinking about getting outside to golf.
It's got to get warmer someday.
Oh my God. This weekend, I think we're getting double digits. I think that's like 40s
or 50s. We're recording just after Easter, but this episode will probably come out in early May. But yeah, we just had some snow,
We should be out by then. But yeah, I mean, when you go to play golf, right now, your first couple rounds are definitely just getting your legs back under you. I would manage your expectations big time. But to answer your first questions, Eric, is, you know, what should you do on the range? It does depend if you can sort it out right away. If you can sort it out with a couple feels in your drills, then absolutely go back to your normal tendency. If you can't, then you might have to play that. That's, you know, you might be playing with your C game that round. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't fret. Don't freak out or anything like that. Still get out there, grind it, enjoy it. Outside of that, the first thing that I would get people to do, and most people won't do it anyways, but I'd still love you to do it, is I would love for you to do the 4T challenge. It is something that I do every single time once I've gotten, you know, my feet, let's say two or three rounds under there, just like getting out, beating balls off the grass again. I start from the very four tee boxes that I can play, and I don't move back until I shoot par or better. And it is a great drill, game, whatever you want to call it, that's going to not only allow you to get comfortable shooting low scores, but also see maybe where you should be playing. Like most golfers probably play from too far back. Like if you're hitting three woods into par fours, you probably should move forward anyways. But for everyone out, yeah, I mean, if you get close to shooting par and if you want to move back later, then you can, but it's going to get you comfortable hitting lots of wedges, having lots of birdie putts, seeing where maybe the holes in your game are, and you're not just playing from the same tees that you've played for 20 years. So give that a crack. That's how I start every season.
Yeah, I like that.
I think it's important too, Tyson. I think a lot of people have a different ball flight when they get outside because they don't have square lines on the edge of a mat to align themselves. And so they get aligned very differently the first time they get outside.
Absolutely. And I think it's one of the harder things to teach anyways is alignment, because we're all so different. And golf courses have tee boxes that aim you one way with fairways going the opposite way. And to go back to, do I try to do shallow drills or do I play the shot that I'm seeing? I would say this. I think I'll have people even in the studio say, yeah, I hit a little bit of a fade and they're hitting a 7-iron. They're swinging 10 left with a face that's open 6. And I'm like, that's not a fade with a 7-iron, right? Like I would say, you know, it depends on how much your golf ball is curving, right? If you get to the range and your golf ball is curving a lot, then I would say, yeah, let's do some shallow drills, right? And see if we can't straighten that out. If it's a 5-yard fade and you feel like you can play your round with it, play it all day. Let's not mess with it and try to ruin low point because you're trying to shallow the club. Let's hit the ball solid, control the curve, and play golf. And then you can get back to the range and try to sort it out. What would you tell that player, Eric?
Well, just to go back, I'm laughing because you said alignment is one of the toughest things to get. It's like golf is so stupid hard. Like, gosh, you're right. Alignment is one of the tougher things to get. And it's just alignment. It's just, just standing there pointing in the right direction. That's all it is. And people can't do that right. I can't do that right all the time. You know, we all work on that. Like, it's all something we have to keep in mind. It's like, gosh dang it, like the list never ends. It's just so many things. So like maybe accepting the fact that there's 478 things you have to do all at once in the golf swing, and one of them is just pointing in the right direction, and people can't even do that right most of the time. Just accept that and be like, okay, this game is tough. It's gonna be a rough go every time I go out there, and if I make a par today, I'm gonna be happy, you know. It's like
that's right.
Anyway, I think the transition from, like, if you are working a lot indoors, if you are kind of coming off a winter season, the transition is not when you start to play outside. The transition should have started a month ago, where you should be doing a lot more. We did our episode on three phases of golf, right? There's the swing or stroke, which is skill mechanics or technique. Then there's the skill part, and then there's the scoring part. You should be well into the skill part and kind of transitioning into the scoring part inside or indoors before you go outside. It shouldn't be something that you're like, oh, I'm outside now, so now I'm going to work on skills, now I'm going to work on scoring.
Yeah.
You can't do all technique work all winter. You have to move away to do some skill and some scoring work during the winter or indoors. You need to play some wedge matrices or ladder games, or you need to hit 10 drivers and see how good most of them were. You know, I work with Mike Carroll, the Fit for Golf guy, and he invented his own game where he gets 20 balls and he judges each ball on 3 points. Did I hit it solid? Did it start to the right of the stick? And did it draw? And yeah, if he's really picky, did it overdraw, you know, draw a little bit? He keeps track of it in a spreadsheet and he does that. So like, that's not necessarily technique or mechanics. It's more of the skill of doing it, hitting a ball solid, controlling the start line, controlling the curve. But he can transition to playing more easily because he's worrying more about the results of the shot without worrying, did it go exactly to that flag or anything like that? But did I hit it solid? Did I control the start line? So on. So he's working on the skill of using his technique or his swing or his stroke. So you needed to start a month ago, you know, I would say.
Yeah, don't fret if you haven't, though.
Yeah, 100%.
No, but if you didn't start a month ago, start now. And
yeah,
when you're indoors, work on those things.
Absolutely. I would say this too, right? We've also recorded those episodes on random practice or block practice. And there's, you know, Dr. Erickson wrote a book called Peak, where he talked about deliberate practice, which is sort of exactly what you just talked about with Mike. Deliberate practice is showing up with a very clear objective that you can measure, right, and track your progress. And ultimately, it should sort of be hard. You know, your objective should be hard to where you're actually going to fail about 50% of the time.
Yeah.
But you're tracking this like he's tracking through his spreadsheet, and he's not going to start it on the right side of the stick and curve it the right amount every single time. But he's paying attention to how successful he is, so he knows what parts of his game to work on. You know, Jason, let me ask you this. Like, what are your go-tos out of coming out of the winter on hitting off a mat to getting used to hitting a golf ball off of real grass and dirt and all the stuff?
Yeah, the hard part is for a lot of us up here, you get to go golf, but then you're still hitting off mats to warm up.
Yeah.
Which is tough. And I mean, one of my most viewed videos is just me hitting a golf ball off a mat saying like you hit it fat, you know what I mean? But it just shows you it hits home to so many golfers because you're so excited. You're like, all right, I get to go golfing. You get out, you know, throw some balls down onto a mat and you're like, man, I am flushing it today. And then you get on the golf course and you just fat it by like, you know, an inch behind the golf ball. It's hard, right? Like we just talked about alignment. Now we're talking about a low point and, you know, on mat, it's solid and you get out there and it's a little soggy and the ground's, you know, not going to accept any bit of fatness on that. You just got to work on that. So the hard part is if you can sneak out in front of it, put the ball on a small little tee, hopefully you don't get yelled at, grab some foot spray and work on that. Like work up and down on the face. And you can do that off a tee just to build low point control without taking a divot to begin with. And then let's say the last shot where you're like, all right, now I'm going to like get ball first contact and a little bit of ground. And then you've got now your feel of like, all right, what's good ball first, go back onto the mat. Hopefully you don't get yelled at whatever range you're at. but yeah, that's how I would do it. If you can't hit off mats. I mean, I have threw that one with a little microfiber cloth. There's a couple different ones. You can put an alignment stick back behind you. I'm sure you got a couple other ones. So, I mean, we got the strike wedge. I think we still have a coupon for that somewhere in there, but man, that's a great piece of kit to do the same thing. You don't have to worry about, you know, some people are like, I just set my towel down the range. And I'm like, oops, sorry about that.
Yep.
The Cobalt QZ6 rangefinder changes the game with an innovative optical zoom that adjusts from 6x to 12x magnification. The zoom means you can clearly identify targets, check out the lie of your next shot, look for your golf ball from the tee, and more like never before. Combined with Cobalt's proven slope compensation and their proprietary PinSense and Surge technologies, you're getting laser accurate readings from 5 to 2,500 yards, 2,500 yards, shot after shot. Cobalt rangefinders deliver advanced optics, intuitive technology, and rugged construction you can trust. Plus, every rangefinder is backed by a lifetime warranty and sold direct, so you get uncompromising quality without the retail markup. Learn more at cobalt-golf.com.
Eric, let's sort of think of this, you know, if you're early in the season, you're probably not going to hit a bunch of greens in regulation. Another part to sort of get prepared and ready outside is to sort of dial in your wedge game. If you're missing greens, you're probably, you know, 10 to 35 yards off the green. What are some good things for players to do to dial in those numbers?
Yeah, well, that's the toughest part. I actually might beg to differ slightly on not hitting a lot of greens. I find that a lot of the members at my academy, for example, especially if they're not using necessarily launch monitors all winter,
sure,
they're just kind of using them toward the end of the winter, they can actually play some of their best golf in April and May because they've been working on start line and hitting the ball solid all winter.
Okay.
So they actually hit a lot of greens when they come out.
Yeah.
But their short game and putting tend to be not great. Some of them, their putting is fine and okay. We have a good putting green at my place also. And so some people don't use it and some people use it a decent bit. But the short game is, to me, one of the tougher things to do. Doing a distance wedge matrix, that's a good. Do some ladder drills, etc. But the short game shots, until you hit some shots, I played over the weekend. And, you know, the grass is like really kind of firm right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of cold. It's been growing all winter. It's kind of clumpy. It's, you know, it's all over the place right now. It's not soft.
It's not white.
Yeah. So it's just, it's tough to get used to, what this feels like. It's tough to reacquaint yourself with how short game shots feel. So spend a lot more time working on some short game shots and doing some of those things when you're out.
Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest one for me. It's like I go to the putting green, I hit chip shots and go before you go to the range. The amount of people that I see that walk past the chipping green and the putting green and they just go to the driving range and smash, you know, 7 irons and drivers. And then they wonder why they can't get up and down anywhere close to 50% of the time. Well, that's why. But the problem is that people don't like practicing stuff they aren't good at. And so it becomes this vicious cycle of, well, I mean, I'm not really good at that. I don't feel like doing it. I'll do it after my range session. And then they go to the range for an hour and they eat up all their time. What are you going to do with that? Like you gotta know where your weaknesses are, and probably in the beginning of the season it's gonna be those. So go work on it. Bring a friend, play a game, make it more interesting. That's gonna make you want to do it more.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna add to that. Jason was like, you gotta make a game out of it, sort of like you're playing golf. And if you have a buddy there, you can create an up and down game where you're hitting, you know, 9 different chip shots from around the green where you gotta get the ball up and down. I definitely think that's a way to try to dial in those numbers like Eric was just talking about. And what does it feel like to get that club moving through that grass without just sitting there sort of banging balls one after another to the same spot without really paying attention to, you know, how the ball's reacting, what's going on, how the launch angle, all the stuff, which again, it's better than nothing to get the most out of your time before you're getting ready to go play. That's a great way to do it.
One of my favorite games to play with, you know, a buddy or, you know, a son, daughter, is play horse. Think about it like, all right, I need this ball. This ball needs to land past this point on the green and then whoever's closest, or it needs to be higher than the putting green flags, or needs to be lower than the putting green flags. Like it's a couple, you can play it a couple different ways, but be creative because that's going to then enable you to feel those different shots where it's like, okay. And then, you know, one out of the fringe, one out of the rough. Again, just put yourself in those different opportunities where you have to hit those different shots and your brain is going to start going like, okay, that's how I remember how to hit this shot.
Yeah. I had my juniors play a game similar to that where when they were, we had our learn the ball flight laws type session and they had to say something like the ball has to start 1 to 4 degrees to the left and finish more than 5 yards to the right of the target line.
Yeah.
Or they got to make up their kind of combinations of those types of things. So the ball has to start within 2 degrees of straight and have a spin axis of -8 or higher. So a big straight draw,
nice.
Something like that, you know, so whatever it was, the creative ones, you know, realized when they had a lefty in the group and they had to go last, though, the person who designed it had to go last and they got double the points or half the points, you know, so depending on how they did, right? They got graded more harshly because if they couldn't pull off their own shot, they didn't get the points that the other people could get for pulling off their shot. At the end of the day, though, the question is too about like, how do you take, like, I'm working on my swing inside, I don't care about results, I'm hitting into a net, to how do I play when I'm outside? And, you know, alignment and those kinds of things are in there. I tell my students, because some students seem to have a natural knack for, I separate, there's where I'm working on technique and trying to do that stuff. And when I go play, I don't worry about the three things that I have in mind right now. And I just go play. And I generally will tell my students, you get one swing thought on the golf course. It doesn't even have to be one of the things you're exactly working on right now. It might be something a little bit earlier. It might be something that we worked on 2 months ago or something like that. So how do you guys handle, like, you have three or four things that you're trying to keep in mind. Maybe one of them is a setup thing. So I tell them setup things don't count. You can do the setup thing and then have a swing thought after that. But what do you guys tell your students?
Yeah, I do both. Like, you're going to have and the hard part is, don't get me wrong, if you don't have a membership somewhere, this one's hard. But if you go play 3 holes, 6 holes, 9 holes, if you got something that early in the season where it's like, okay, can I videotape my swing? Can I critique it? Now the pressure's racked up. Am I still making the moves? Am I still hitting the shots? Right. That's a little bit more pressure. But again, you're never going to keep scoring any of that stuff. You're just grading yourself into like, are my feels translating a little bit to real? But the second, now you got to put a piece of paper or put a number on a piece of paper. Well, yeah, same thing. Two max is usually what most people are. And the same thing for all my students, the setup, grip, stance, posture, ball position. You haven't pulled the trigger. Those you can think about that. And then you have your swing.
Yeah. Very similar, you know, and I think it's, we have to get ourselves into the athlete mode, right? When we're out on the golf course, golfers are athletes. And, you know, aside from all the technical pieces that we can sort of bog ourselves down with all the winter, we have to feel what it feels like to hit the shot we're about to hit, right? And allow yourself to get into that mode, which is easier said than done. And I get that. But yeah, if we're out there with more than one or two thoughts, it's probably too much for us to perform at our highest level.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I asked my juniors this question because alignment's a big deal. I asked them, when you're out playing golf, because we're going to hopefully be playing golf here soon outside, I said, can you put an alignment stick down between your feet and the ball and then step up and hit the shot, just like we've been kind of doing all winter? And they all said, no, that's whatever. That's not allowed. I said, by who? I'm like, the rules. I said, I didn't say in a competition. I said, when you're outside playing golf, can you put it? And they're like, oh. So yeah, throw an alignment stick down, throw a club down between your feet, like check your alignment and stuff on the course. Tee the ball up a tiny bit on the golf course. If it's wet and soggy and you don't want to like scar yourself all for the entire summer by hitting half an inch behind it and exploding half of Ohio or Pennsylvania or wherever the heck Jason lives, he might get down to the permafrost. I don't know. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, do some things early on in the season that make it easy for you, that make the transition easier.
It's so true. There, I had one student, and I'll never forget this. He bought a 3-pack and he messaged me and he goes, I own a TrackMan studio and I'm a +5 inside. I was like, okay. And then I'm keep reading and he's like, you know, talking about all the swing stuff. And he's like, but I've never broken 80 outside.
Yeah, I've had similar people.
And so I messaged him back. I said, don't send me any indoor swings. Those are going to be useless to me. Obviously you have no issue with that. Send me some outdoor swings. Send me one outdoor swing, but it's like a big open field. Didn't look crazy like off, but there's a little bit, couple things in. I was like, I want like a full pre-shot routine. Tell me exactly where you're aimed, like put down alignment stick, set up to that. You know, I need like full from, you know, when you're picking your target out. And so he sends me a video, no alignment stick on the ground, but he goes, yeah, I'm aimed out towards this tree in the distance and I'm trying to hit a draw. And I kid you not, he must have been closed 30, 40 degrees to this tree. It was the most awkward I've ever seen someone standing over top of the golf ball. And of course, because he's so misaligned to his target, the rest of the swing just gets all this weird, like even weirder than the other swing that he sent in, because obviously the other one was a little bit better aligned. And I just messaged him back and I said, did you watch this video? And he's like, yeah, it looks really funny. I said, it's because you're aimed so far right. And he goes, oh, that would make sense. I said, all I want you to do is I want you to go to Home Depot. I want you to buy 2 giant long driveway markers, like the ones that are like 6-8 feet.
6 feet.
And I want you to 6 feet. I said, I want you to stick those out in front of you about 12 to 15 feet, make a little screen, and then put, you know, 4 alignment sticks down, make a little box, just like your indoor studio. He messaged me back. He's like, I can't do that. That's ridiculous.
That's freaking crazy.
And I was just like, if you want to get better at golf, you're going to do that. He's like, okay, fine. This is stupid. But like, I can't even keep score. I'm like, well, that's not the point. The point is I want you to get comfortable getting into your alignment. He's like, okay, fine. Message me 2 days later. He's like, well, I look like a complete idiot. However, I hit a lot of good golf shots. I was like, okay, great. He's like, what's next? I said, I just keep doing that. Keep doing that. And then as you get more and more comfortable, remove, you know, 2 at your feet and then remove 1 out in front of you. And he messaged me back. I think it was like a week or 2 later or something like that. And he's like, well, I just broke 80 for the first time. We didn't change any mechanics in his swing. And he still hasn't sent me any to the 2 remaining lessons. It was just his alignment was so messed up. To go all the way back to the way when you're like talking at the beginning, it is so imperative to at least be somewhat squared off to your target. And it doesn't matter if you're open or closed, but it needs to match your shot. I have a video somewhere on my phone that I show students all the time of Lee Trevino, and he's aimed 2 fairways over and hits a beautiful push fade into like his hole, but it looks like he's hitting into another hole at his setup. It only needs to work for the shot that you're setting. There's no rules into using like a weird quotations alignment if you can hit the ball better. I think think, Eric, you mentioned, was it your brother-in-law?
Yeah.
That like hits the ball better? Perfect example.
He draws the ball when he has an open stance and slices it when he has a closed stance because your body feels like the target is over there or over there when your body's aimed differently. So you swing a little differently either way. So alignment mats. Mats align people better than they realize. You got a bunch of square edges and lines and you just align differently.
It makes it easy
when you're outside. You know, if tee boxes throw you off, just tee off like 2 feet behind them. Don't let the line of the tee markers or put them out of sight. Like stand far enough away from one that there's not some invisible line connecting them that throws you off. Because, you know, you have a whole area to put your ball in, you know, so just put your ball somewhere where you don't feel like it's aiming you into the trees.
Yep.
Where can people find us after they get back from their first round outside? Or
you can find us on all social medias at The Spin Axis, and you can find us online at thespinaxis.com, where you can listen to all our old podcasts.
Awesome.